are listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It is a special day today, lady. I mean, every day is a special day around here, but today is a special day. Because we have a new segment we're rolling out today. We discovered so many women that we want to talk to and didn't have enough segments to talk to all of them. So we just made new segments as an excuse to talk to more people. So, Erin, you're running the show today. What are we doing? Yes. And what is the new thing? It's a new thing today.
The new category of conversation with guests is mother-daughter.
I love it.
Yes. What better thing for Lutheran ladies than to discuss mothers and daughters?
True. Admit it. You did this so we could just talk to two women at once.
You know what? It did really fit well. I did. I have wanted to talk with these two even before I had the idea of how to describe the new segment. We made it after you. Now we can keep going.
We were like, we want to talk to them, but it doesn't fit any of our categories.
Exactly.
So we'll just make a new one.
I'm honored.
Yes. We are here today talking with Cheryl Magnus and Caitlin Magnus. Cheryl works here in the International Center, where Sarah and I work. She's in the building. She's on the second floor, which is below ground, for those who are confused. Not ground level.
That's the third floor.
Yeah. So Cheryl works in the communication department for the LCMS, and she is the managing editor of Reporter.
Not the reporter.
No.
You have to be very clear about this, guys.
Yes.
This is the Synod's official newspaper.
It's a big deal.
Yes, indeed. And Cheryl used to be colleagues with Rachel when Rachel worked here in the community.
Oh, we were next door neighbors. I miss that.
Yeah.
We actually came on at almost exactly the same time.
That's so true.
We were newbies together. And we learned. Rachel got here maybe a month before I did. So.
Yeah. Well, you lasted a lot longer, so there you go.
That's a story for another day.
I mean, you are still there, and the Lord has taken me on to new and different things. So
it's beautiful.
There we go.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So why don't you guys start by just telling us a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah, I think this was probably self-explanatory, but I am Cheryl's daughter. I don't know if you said that.
Yes.
I didn't define which one was the mother and daughter. You're right. I didn't.
And we should probably also mention that, Caitlin, you are all grown up. You are
an adult.
Yes. Indeed.
No, she isn't. She's still a very tiny little girl. And she has not grown up yet. I'm in denial.
Are you happy to talk like this?
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourselves. What do you do? I don't know. Tell us about how
did you meet?
Yeah. It was 28 years ago.
So she kept me up all night long, I will say.
Yeah, that's true.
1995, yes. Yeah.
That is truly the beginning.
Yeah. That's truly the beginning.
The beginning of me.
No, so yeah. So I'm the mom, and Caitlin was overdue. She did not want to come out. So
I was the second one.
Yeah, she was number two.
Older brother.
So we had to go to the hospital and coax her along a little bit. And then she kept me up all night long, and she made her appearance bright and early at like 6 a.m. in the morning after keeping me up all night long. And she's still kind of a night owl.
Yeah. I still stay up all night long and I don't want to come out when I'm supposed to come out.
But to go back to Erin's question. So yes, I'm managing editor of Reporter, and which is how I got to know Rachel before she left. And I cried, and I literally did cry.
Oh, yeah, I think we both did.
I really did. When I'm not, so I've been here about 7 years. And before coming to the IC, I was freelance writer, freelance musician, homeschool mom, stay-at-home mom for many years. And then way back in a previous life, I taught English. So I have three children. Caitlin's the middle. My oldest is Trevor, and he has a wife and a baby. So now I'm a grandma. And Caitlin's number two. And then I have a third child, a boy. He's not a child anymore. He's a sophomore at Concordia University.
A man.
Chicago. Yes.
I'm Caitlin. I already said I have a few things going on right now. I'm a writer, sort of the freelance editor. I work in food service. Right now I'm working at Andy's Frozen Custard, which those of you audience who are in St. Louis or a few other places in the Midwest might have heard of Andy's.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was my favorite place before we moved away from one we could walk to in Andy's, and it was the best. Nice. Hot take. I like it better than Ted Drew's. Don't cancel me.
Those are strong words.
Yeah, I know. I know. Wow.
That's the correct. Those are the correct words. in the present company. Yes. And I'm in school at the University of Missouri, Columbia. It's an online program, so I live here in St. Louis, but I'm studying library science, working on a master's in library science and information science.
Okay. So I honestly feel like I know the two of you the most from interacting with you on social media, which is not how I do most of my interactions with things. So it's a little weird, and I'm glad I have a chance to actually, you know, interact with you in real life here today.
Me too.
But the reason I was like, ooh, I especially want to talk with you is because I just really admire the way you interact still as like with that parent-child dynamic, there is that, but also as adults and on social media. It's like the trifecta of challenge.
And they're both writers too.
Yeah.
They're really good at communicating.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I have not known you like as you made that shift into adult relating as opposed to adult child relating. So how was that? Was that an easy shift for you guys to navigate? Was that something that you sort of had to figure out? I don't know. Tell me a little bit about that.
So you're talking not necessarily about social media
right
now.
Not necessarily.
Okay. But just about.
That's where I've observed it myself, but yeah. I feel like it's probably more reflective. Well, maybe you'll tell me, well, it turns out our social media relationship is the healthiest aspect of our relationship.
Maybe that's the first question. The first question is real life the same as social media?
Erin,
that will direct the rest of our conversation today.
Yeah.
Erin, I don't think I've been on social media as much the last couple of years as I might have previously been. So I was curious if you had any examples of interactions that you have observed.
Yeah, okay. So good question. Let's see. So I cannot tell you, I should have anticipated this and come prepared with.
It's okay.
On November 17th.
But
there
like
was this exchange.
It's Facebook, so it just kind of gets lost in the.
Yes, it does. So
ephemera
the examples that I can think of are often ones where one or the other of you, or even like your husband, father, Phil, husband and that anyway, you guys know what I mean.
Husband of one, father of
yes,
several.
Three. The man of the household, where one of the three of you will have posted maybe a story that you read about say a current event and have an opinion on it. Mm-hmm. And then there's some dialogue and one actual dialogue, sort of unusual. And it's not just, you're exactly right, we see completely eye to eye, but rather responding to it and being like, but here I have a different take on this. Mm-hmm. And then there's conversation goes back and forth along those lines that does not, that I have observed, devolve into tears or deleted. And so that type of interaction is one that I have often seen. I can't give a specific one right this moment, but I've often seen it where you're like, here's my thoughts on this thing. And like, I have a different take. Oh, tell me about it. Oh, well, I hadn't considered it that way. Okay.
The first thing I would say is that, like I said, I don't post about current events or issues so much, probably the last couple of years. So what you have observed, I would agree with, that when I have posted about that kind of thing, it has followed that healthy pattern of conversation between family members. Although these days, I still prefer to talk about that sort of thing in person rather than online. Mm-hmm. And it's not primarily about the family members, because they're the healthiest conversations are with the people you know and love, and not with strangers.
Sure.
It's the ones
that's
with
wisdom.
Strangers that tend to be a little more upsetting. But still, even with the loved ones, I find it's normally better to talk about more important stuff in person. Mm-hmm. So just in general, I don't post about that sort of thing so much online these days. Mm-hmm.
I think what I see most is that you post funny memes and your mom laughs at them.
Yeah,
I witness that a lot, which is its own kind of love and support. Because if you're going to post a hilarious meme, somebody ought to laugh at it.
Exactly.
So we had a plan before shall we tell them our plan before we came in to record?
Yes. Oh, yes.
You came up with the plan, so why don't you lay it out?
Okay, I will explain the plan. So,
oh boy.
Because we were both a little nervous.
We're both a little out of our comfort
zone. We're both a little nervous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was saying to my mom, she's been on the radio before. I have not. So I was saying to her, if I don't know how to answer a question, I will stall and deflect with jokes. And give her time to sweep in with a thoughtful, insightful answer.
Yes.
And then she said, okay, but my mom can't answer a question. She needs me to sweep in with the jokes.
I said I would deliver an incomprehensible word salad.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then
and then Caitlin would sweep in and save me with a joke.
Uh-huh. But I said sweep in, and then I was like, wait, I don't think that's the right term. I was thinking swoop in. But then mom was like, well, I know how to sweep in because I sweep all the time as mom.
I sweep. Yes.
So the plan ended up being you sweep and I swoop.
All right. Sweeping and swooping. And so far you don't need it. You're doing great, by the way, Caitlin. This is fun.
I am curious though, because I've full disclosure, I sit next to both of you guys in church choir. So like I have a little bit more in-person interaction with you guys and Phil and the rest of the family, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I have also paid attention to the kind of discourse, Aaron, that you're talking about, and I laugh at your jokes, memes on Facebook too. Caitlin, I appreciate your humor. but I am curious. I'm curious if that kind of, you're talking about these conversations being better in person. So how did you guys build that culture of healthy conversation as a family? Because that isn't necessarily a given in family units that you have healthy conversation in person.
Did you grow up with that?
Yeah. And like,
so
what kind of, how did you,
or?
I know we're totally going off script here, but how did you build this culture of healthy communication that, it is visible to us just viewing from the outside?
Yeah. I've talked a lot. Do you want to go?
I'll try. Okay. You can swoop in with a joke in a minute. So, yeah, I think probably what you see on Facebook is to a large extent just how we talk a lot.
We do talk a lot.
This does not surprise me. We talk a lot. Sometimes our poor kids are, so we've all these years we've had a rule with the kids growing up at supper time. So we pray at the beginning of the meal and we pray at the end of the meal. We pray at both ends, okay? And the kids were not allowed to get up and leave the table until we had the closing prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sometimes conversations would get going and going and going, and finally the kids are like, can we pray now? So ready to be done. I hasten to add, so Caitlin lives at home. She's 28 years old, and yet this is like so ingrained. She still does this. So when we, on the occasions that we get to, we're all running and going every which way these days. But when we have that opportunity to sit down, her and me and my husband and Evan, if he's home from college, and have a meal, we just really cherish that. And she does not get up until we've had that ritual of we pray. And it just, I think that's part of what I appreciate so much about my daughter is that respect is still there.
It would just feel weird to do that.
So even though she's a grown lady and she's living her own life, she just still has such respect for us as her parents. And I think that's a big part of how, you know, for me, what helps us to navigate this changing relationship mm-hmm. over the years.
Yeah. And it's not as if you turn 18 and suddenly you're this new category of person, right? Mm-hmm. That might be how it works in the eyes of the law, but that's just how it has to be because there has to be a cutoff point, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, in real life, it's like you become an adult by inches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it starts before 18. You start becoming an adult when you're adolescent. Mm-hmm. And then I guess what I'm saying is because like the whole thing with the closing prayer is that there was never a point where I was like, where there was a decision that I could make that's like, oh, I'm going to stop doing this now because I am an adult. It's just it's a gradual thing. And when you have those things that stay consistent, that's a gift. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me into my next question, because I know that, well, when I was hanging out with you guys regularly, Caitlin, you were still a fairly recent undergrad graduate. Mm-hmm. And you had a little brother who was, you know, starting high school, and life was very different for you then. But I know now things have changed, and yet you still have these wonderful family traditions. Could you describe for us, because I feel like it's a pretty special thing, what is a typical evening or a day off like in the Magnus household? Because it's, you know, obviously you aren't always home. Phil, Cantor Phil Magnus, travels a lot for his mission work. But when he is home, maybe when Evan's home from Concordia, what's life like for you? What do you guys do for fun?
We don't always have the same days off. Mm-hmm. Mm. My schedule is pretty inconsistent. Mm. But let's say in this scenario, it's a day where all of us have time at home, I guess with the exception of Trevor, because Trevor's, you know,
he's got his own life.
He's
now.
He has a house.
Yeah. That is a very distinctive factor, yes.
Yeah.
Houses take a lot of work.
Let's say, yeah, him and a child.
House, yeah. So, a wife and a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's say Evan's home, right? I'm home. Dad's home for the night. You're home. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Please tell me there's a hymn sing happening.
There might be.
On occasion.
On occasion. If we're all home, you know, we'll try to have a nice meal together. You know, I might cook or Dad might cook. We might be sitting out on the patio if it's nice weather, maybe having a cocktail. Mm. And our kids are both old enough that they can, you know, sort of sit down with us sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
that is a new world. I can't even imagine that world at this point.
Yeah, we might, you know, often might have a music rehearsal.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
to practice for church or, yeah, mm-hmm. listen to somebody play the piano. And then sometimes we'll, you know, pull up a movie, try to decide on a movie to watch together.
Or a game.
Yeah.
Or game.
Play mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, play a game, watch a movie, mm-hmm. take the dog for a walk. Mm-hmm. It's pretty boring stuff, you know.
Sounds great, actually.
So, yeah.
And then as previously said, we tend to talk a lot.
Yeah, and then we just talk. Yeah.
Which is, mm-hmm. it strikes me as funny because all of you guys are introverts, aren't you?
We all are.
But the thing about introverts is you put the right two introverts in the room, they will never stop talking.
It's true. It's so true.
People don't believe me when I say that, too.
So true. Mm.
Yeah. Well, and I love the way you describe that because it sounds like just family life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
family life doesn't stop being family life because you're all over 21.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just you have to mix up more cocktails, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. That's all it is, really. We can end the episode here.
Family life, more cocktails.
The wonderful thing is we have this built-in bartender, which is Dad, and he just stands over at the bar and takes our orders.
Oh my goodness.
Like tonight, Caitlin, what would you like tonight, honey? So, yeah,
nice.
It's
great.
Oh, a secret I had not known before. Okay.
That is beautiful.
It does help with these moments. It helps them to happen organically that I do still live at home, and Evan's at college right now, but he's home for breaks and summer. Whenever the time comes that we move out, I hope we still make some time to do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So along those lines, Caitlin, so you're still living at home. Doesn't sound like you're like, yeah, I can't wait to get out of here. I got a deadline. I'm 17 more days and I'm gone. Get yourself a house. So is this something that you would recommend, or do you have advice for young adults who are living at home with their parents?
Yeah, and this is so timely because every time new research comes out, we hear that more and more 20-somethings are in this sort of situation of because of various economic and just emotional factors that they're choosing to live at home for longer. Give us your wisdom, because obviously you make it work really well.
Yeah, I wish I had the exact statistic. I think it's something like half American young adults in their 20s now live at home. And yeah, I mean, it's not, I hesitate to use like the word recommend because everyone has a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe living at home could be the very wrong choice for someone if they have a family that is not good to them, or, you know, if they had to move out for their career or for their relationship or all manner of things. So it's not a thing that like I'm going to say that I recommend as like the thing you should do. But if you're in that situation where you can live at home and you have a good relationship with your family, it can be very helpful financially, especially because a lot of younger millennials and Gen Z are really struggling financially right now. And I don't think it should be something that anyone is embarrassed of. There's still some of that cultural shame around living at home that stems from the whole, you know, you got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and find your own way in the world. And I don't want to, you know, dismiss that spirit entirely, but I just don't think people should be ashamed of it. And
no,
there's this whole term failure to launch that's used for Gen Z and younger millennials that like refers to, you know, it's what it says, failure to move out, get married, get a steady career. And that's, you know, that's a worthwhile thing to discuss and to figure out why this is happening. But there is also data to indicate that millennials are launching. They're just taking a bit longer to do it. Mm. So I would advise people who are living at home to not worry too much that they're, you know, failing to launch completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I, after I graduated from college, I, as you do, I had an idea.
As one does, yeah.
I was going to move.
Or not,
I moved to a city that I really had no connections with. I did have an aunt and uncle who lived there, but nothing else. I don't know. I had this this idea. So I was like, I'm going to do it. It was a rough year, and a really rough year. It was an expensive year and hard, painful. It was a learning year, a very strong learning year. And at the end of it, I moved home with my parents. And at the time, I did feel some of that, what you were describing, with just that stigma. And it wasn't really from, as near as I can tell, it wasn't even because of what somebody else, I wasn't getting it from the outside. It was me that was feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I had to come to my own terms of, and I could, even while I was feeling that, recognize that this is also a really, it's a really good thing. And it was a wonderful experience for me to be able to have that time back with my parents as an adult, to sort of reset that.
Yeah.
And then after a year doing that, then I went to Japan. But having that year with them in particular was also awesome to do that right before then.
Yeah. And I think as a young adult, you do need to have those tough learning experiences. So after what I said last, I wanted to also add that even as you're living at home, you know, you don't want to be the stereotype of the kid who just lives in their parents' basement and isn't working or looking for employment or, you know, socializing or trying to do anything with their own life. Mm-hmm. Because that's, you know, and it's not just about not taking advantage of your parents, because your parents are, you know, they're going to be there for you regardless. But like, it's also for your own self. You don't want to be stuck in that rut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. There is value to separation and adulthood and all of those good things, but that can come at different times for different people, which is totally fine. Yeah. And like, you know, I moved out when I was 18 to go to college. Both my brothers, they stayed at home for college. So it's a very different experience for me, but I can see the value of being able to know your parents in a different way as an adult and having that time to spend together. Because I mean, I moved out. I never moved back in with them. And I've lived far enough away from them that it's been, I mean, it's taken me years to finally understand that, like, the relationship is just different. And in order for me to know them as adults and for them to know me as an adult, like, you have to put a lot, maybe not a lot of extra effort, but it's a different kind of effort when you don't actually live close enough to know them in person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are real benefits to knowing your parents, knowing your kids as adults and having that close bond of a relationship. So,
yeah, I was going to piggyback on what Caitlin said a few minutes ago, just talking about the stigma that is sometimes attached to living with your parents as an adult child. That sounds weird. Adult child. I don't know how.
I stumbled over it throughout this. Up to the whole episode.
Well, that's evidence. The fact that our language isn't quite able to wrap itself around this concept shows exactly that there is some mild stigma there.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think if you look back through history, you know, this whole idea of just getting young people out of the house and off on their own and don't ever come back again. I mean, you know, it seems like this is maybe more of a recent thing. You know, I think, you know, the extended family kind of all living together and sticking together. And, you know, maybe even if they were just, you know, the farm, you know, maybe got a farm just down the road or whatever, but still being close together, you know, has historically been a model as well. And so this kind of feels to me a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I think that we've been a blessing to Caitlin and the place that she is in her life right now. But I mean, she's been such a blessing to us just having her at home the last few years. So, you know, we had a horrible deep freeze ice thing in January in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My husband was in Africa.
Yep.
For the entire month of January. And my son is at college, you know, but I had a buddy, you know. So we went through it together and our, you know, HVAC quit working and, you know, all kinds of things.
As it does in January when it's below zero. This is just what happens.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
That was a fun time.
Yeah. So we had heat out at the same time together.
You did too, that's right.
We were commiserating on social.
It is such a gift when you're able to choose to live together and offer each other mutual support and encouragement. I know this conversation well. Not a lot of people know this, but for 3 years in our early 30s, my husband and I and our then three and then four children lived with my parents. And it wasn't, as people suspected, because we were broke. It was because we chose to, and they chose to have us. And even though we, you know, eventually broke up housekeeping, all of us look back on that time and are very glad that we had it together. Mm-hmm. But there is always that look that you get when you explain, we live with our parents. No, it's not short term. No, we're not bankrupt. We have jobs. Mm-hmm. We pay rent.
Personally, I am broke, but.
Yeah, I mean, we were close to broke, but, you know, not quite there all the way. But, you know, it's like, for whatever reason, that there's usually more than one reason at play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not, I have failed as an adult. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, I have chosen this together with my parents as the richest and best possible living arrangement for myself at this season in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if it is a financial necessity or the best financial option, it helps, you know, if you also like each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That can be the reason. That can be just, we like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Erin, you mentioned Japan. We'll have to talk about Japan later. I want to go so bad.
Well, in the meantime, I have a follow-up question. That was just a personal anecdote. And that is, in what ways do you, besides being buddies when the HVAC goes out in an ice storm, how do you encourage and support one another on a daily basis?
You want me to go first?
Sorry, I was thinking about Japan because...
go for it. Go for it. Follow that rabbit trail, girl.
Get there. We'll come back to this. Yeah.
Because the social stigma about living with your parents, it's also a very Western American thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that I've read about Japan is that there's almost the opposite stigma where parents, if you have a child who is like out there on their own struggling financially or, you know, who or is even like homeless or anything like that, that's a black mark on you as parents. So that has almost the opposite effect of there are young adults who are then sort of enabled to take advantage of their parents. But yeah, that's all I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
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 I think going to Rachel's question about how do we support each other, I'm just going to give the same answer I already gave, which is we talk. We just, we text. We do a lot of texting during the day. I mentioned earlier, Caitlin, 28 years old, and yet just the respect and the consideration that she shows for me. So, she's working two jobs, going to college, running all around, all different hours. We'll sometimes have late shifts at Andy's and that sort of thing. And yet she knows that I'm a worrywart and that I don't sleep well if I am worried about her. So she will just text me a little thing, like leaving work now,
Yeah.
And she, she doesn't have to do that. And if she were living on her own, I wouldn't expect her to do that, But because she's living with us, I'm going to expect to hear a door, the garage door open, whatever. Yep. And if I don't hear that by a certain time, I'm going to worry, So she's just really good about sort of, sending me little notes and,
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, if I forget, it's not like you get really mad at me or anything. Like I've known people who didn't have good relationships with their parents. And I knew someone who her mom would text her, and then if she didn't respond within a given time frame, then her mom would get mad. Mm-hmm.
And that would not work for me.
That is the unhealthy version of
right.
That
and it was like this friend of mine, sometimes she would be like, she would be in class or she would be, doing something else. And like, sorry, mom, I couldn't answer your text just then, So yeah, the flip side of that is just, that's a flip side.
Well, like talking and texting and stuff, that isn't a small thing. Like,
it's like a lot of work.
Yeah, like that, there's a lot of intentionality and a lot of relationship building that happens when you're willing to have conversations with people and you make the effort to send those text messages and to respond to them. Speaking of which, I need to text my mom back. But having that intentionality of talking, it sounds on the surface like a simple thing of like, oh yeah, we just, we talk, but it's, that's a big deal for a parent and an adult child to have those kind of, that kind of relationship and to have those conversations and put that intentionality into a relationship so that you are able to trust each other and to have the mutual consolation or whatever term we're using between each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember where I was going now. It is, it is an intentional effort to maintain that sort of conversation. But at the same time, like, it's not hard for me to send you a text when I leave work. Mm-hmm. And also because you're not going to get mad at me if I forget one night, I don't like have the sort of rebellious instinct to be like, well, I don't have to send you a text every night, so I'm not going to. it's something that helps you feel better, and it takes me 2 seconds, so right. It's like, why not?
Yeah, and so that sort of interaction is just more reflective, I think, of human beings being considerate of each other, whether they're mother, daughter, or friends, or something else.
Yeah, like I said, it helps if you like each other. It also helps if both people are just decent to each other.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's like, you can have all the advice about like communication, healthy relationships in the world, but if one person in the relationship is not, does not respect or treat the other person with kindness, it's never going to work.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it amazing how sometimes you can have the nicest, most polite person in the world, and then they get home and they have trouble being that for their family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just because you know how to be courteous doesn't mean it's easy in those close familial situations where nobody's watching. So, but what you're describing actually just sounds like Christian community, which is great to see that sort of playing out in the Magnus home.
There's not a secret, there's not a secret cheat code for just because it's a family relationship. It doesn't
be nice if there was.
Yeah. Fundamentally, it's no different than any other human relationship.
Well, and I think I will also jump in and say that a big, big part of what makes this work out, I think, is that we have this common foundation of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we sing in church choir together. We go to church every week together. And, you know, when you have that as your foundation, there's just all kinds of things you can navigate around. So if we mm-hmm. have disagreements, you know, about a current event or mm-hmm. about just a life thing, you know, we agree on the big, important things, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And there's always going to be that love and respect mm-hmm. beneath it, too. Like, that's one reason I don't post on social media about current events or controversial issues so much now. I prefer to talk in person, like I was saying at the beginning, is because even with your family and loved ones online, it can be really easy, at least for me, to read tone into things mm-hmm. that's not there. Especially because sometimes I do, you know, fight with strangers online. It's like I sort of learn to expect the hostility even from people who are not hostile. Uh-huh. Yeah. So talking in person it removes that entirely. Like mm-hmm. talking in person, it's like, well, if someone starts getting upset, it's like, okay, let's stop and yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about
you're,
this.
You're yeah. much less likely to come into a conversation with your like guard up already.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ready yeah. for a fight.
Because yeah. you see this, you know, this human being that you love right in front of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even strangers, it's true. So like yeah. I go to periodically, I'll go to a meetup that is intended to discuss topics and hear from actual human beings, different takes on Ooh, a current topic.
That sounds mm-hmm.
instead
fun.
Instead of reading the comments section on the topic.
Yeah.
And even though they're people that I don't know yet, it is. It's much harder to take offense, and it's much harder to want to cause offense. Or, you know, you're more reluctant to cause offense because you can see the impact that your words are having. Like, you could just see it on their faces. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I got to tone it down. Tone it down. That's a little, so wait, make your face more, a little smilier.
That's just
because you're thinking hard. But you can read these cues on people when you're seeing them face to face, which is great. Mm-hmm. So you guys are both writers. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Which is strange to me.
Really?
Really?
Why is it strange?
Because my mom's a nurse. It doesn't usually run in families, or if it does, it skips a generation. The idea that, Cheryl, you got a child who's a writer just like you are, that's like some sort of minor miracle.
We're different kinds of writers.
We're different kinds of writers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tell us about that. Okay.
Well, okay, so let me tell you a story about Caitlin.
Okay. She'll tell us a story about you.
Yeah,
this will be
Caitlin
great.
Was destined. Caitlin was destined to be a writer, and she's heard me say this, like, you know, I don't know, time and time again over the years, but we have home video of Caitlin sitting in her high chair, and we would say, and I have multiple clips like this, Caitlin, tell us a story. And, you know, she can't talk yet, but she, you know, she's like, blah, 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 you know, it was like, you know, she's telling us a story when she's a little, you know, she was mm-hmm. always story girl.
Okay.
You know, and even would write from a very young age, you know, I still have stories that you and Trevor wrote together.
Oh my goodness.
But she writes like fiction stories. Okay. And I can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I tried to do that a little when I was a kid, but I stand in awe of people that can make up stories and plots and characters and that sort of thing. So that's
Well, I couldn't be the managing editor of reporter, not the reporter. Yeah. No, it goes both ways.
My job is safe.
So do you guys give each other, I don't know, do you read each other's work and give each other professional feedback?
Yeah.
Or do you limit it to, I don't know, not the critiquing sort of thing, but just like, this is great, keep going.
So Caitlin has shared her manuscripts, her novel mm-hmm. manuscripts with me, and you know, given me the high honor of being, you know, an early editor feedback person on those.
Because she's good and she does it for free for me.
Yes.
I don't really have the opportunity so much to, you know, because what I do is just so fast paced. And, you know, we have, as Rachel knows, we have many editors in the office. And, you know, so we're quickly writing stuff, passing stuff around, you know. But if I ever do write a piece of fiction, you know, a story mm-hmm. or a novel, she would be the first person that mm-hmm. I would say that to.
Aw.
Yeah.
I think it does help, though, that we write different things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I don't expect you to, you know, critique a manuscript like a professional fiction editor would. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is enough for me just for you to read it and be like, oh, I saw a typo on this page.
Yeah. Is what I do all day, right?
Or just from a pure readerly perspective.
Reader,
to be like, mm-hmm. I was confused when this character said this.
Just super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other way, like when I read your articles for the Federalist or Reporter, that sort of thing, I'm not like giving them a real in-depth critique. It's mm-hmm. sure, it's more, I like this. I thought maybe I wanted more explanation about this. Mm-hmm. You misspelled carrot. And
no, I didn't. That was not my fault.
Do you ever have conversations like when I have with my kids and they'll show me a piece of writing and I'll say, okay, as an editor, do you want feedback or affirmation? Because I could be one or the other.
Those would be two different things. Yeah.
I like to go with a compliment sandwich.
Affirmation, then feedback, then affirmation.
Yeah, got it.
That's very good of you. Yeah, that works well. It's a lot of work.
You like to eat those too, don't you?
Yeah, tasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good to make for others. Everyone likes a
delicious
sandwich,
and nutritious. Yes.
Now I'm wondering what foods would make up a compliment sandwich.
You probably can't eat any of them, so don't think too hard about it.
Truth. No, I think we may have mentioned earlier that we're homeschoolers, so
that's true.
You know, so Caitlin grew up having me read and give her feedback on stuff. Although we would be in the category of what is known as a relaxed homeschooling family. So we just, you know, kind of did a lot of living and reading and talking and some book stuff, but the book stuff was more for math, like you have to do your math, you know, and then the writing and the reading and all of that just kind of, you just soaked it in. So I guess I gave you some paper assignments along
you did.
The way. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So relaxed homeschooling. Yeah. I aspire to that.
I don't remember learning to write.
Right.
Yeah. Or learning to read. Mm. It was just kind of like learning to speak, speak a language. It just happened. And even like, because like you mentioned, I would make up stories and I want to write them down. Mm-hmm. So you let me sort of bang on the keyboard on Microsoft Word on your big chunky Windows 98. but yeah, to this day, I type a little weird. It's like I type just as fast as anyone, but yeah, I don't type entirely correctly.
Because she started typing way before she was supposed to.
Right. Yeah.
So she just figured out her own system. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's like, once you have your system, I'm not going to try to change it.
System. So.
Yeah.
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 How weird is that to have gone in just a few short years from being homeschool mom, homeschool daughter, hanging out, typing stories, reading books, having conversations? So now, does it feel like you're both grown up comparatively? I speak as someone right now who spends most of my time living that homeschool life and loving it, but realizing, okay, this lifestyle is very different than, say, managing editor of Reporter or, you know, excellent frozen custard slinger / graduate student. Mm-hmm. How's that transition worked?
I don't.
Asking for a friend.
Sure. I feel both grown up and not grown up. I think it's the universal experience of being in your 20s.
Mm-hmm. And your 30s.
40s. Oh, just keeps going.
It doesn't go away.
No. Am I an adult? I'm not sure. So, am I an adult? I mean, we also had a period of time in Caitlin's childhood growing up where my mom lived with us.
Oh. Okay.
So grandma, I think, moved in with us. Gosh, probably when you were about 5 years old, maybe. There was a short period of time where she moved out again for a little while, but then she came back. So, I mean, pretty much from the time, you probably remember her as just a steady presence in your life.
She lived on her own for a few years, didn't she?
Yeah, for a few years in there. But anyway, she lived with us for a long time. And, you know, so I had this interesting experience of not only being mother, but of being daughter. Oh. So talk about a sandwich.
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
Bring back the sandwich.
Yeah. It was a different kind of sandwich. I think, you know, and it wasn't easy. it's just not, I think, you know, ever easy to probably live with your mother. But I think there were, you know, other challenges that I won't go into for our purposes here that made it a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. So where was I going with this? So I think perhaps, you know, having that experience of living with my mom and knowing as a grown-up woman with children, how difficult that was to sort of always be living, you know, under the watchful eye of mom.
Yes.
I wrote an article about this one time, and I shared the anecdote of just kind of losing it one day with her because it was just such a stupid little thing. You know, I'm just like heading out and she's like, "Do you have your coat?" And I'm like, "Mom, I'm like, you know, 40 years old, you know, you don't have to remind me, you know, if I want to go out without a coat, I'll go out without a coat." You know, that's just, you know, kind of straw that broke the camel's back on that day, you know. But I think being in that situation, and Caitlin, by the way, saw some of the worst of me during those years. It still loves me.
Yeah,
of course. But maybe, you know, having that experience maybe has made me just a little bit more cognizant of that challenge of being an adult living with your mother. And so I try really, really hard, and I don't always succeed, but I try really hard, you know, not to be in her business. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Did you or did you not bring a coat here today, Caitlin?
It's like 50 degrees. It's pretty warm here today.
Okay, it's snowy in Connecticut. Never mind. Question retracted.
I feel like, I don't know, my instinct is that it would be the person who has the harder job is the mother who needs to shift in her mindset, in how she is reacting. Because I feel like we're just sort of like programmed, like we're going to grow up. We're going to grow up. Mm-hmm. And like that's sort of built into.
Yeah.
Just you want to, as the child, start doing that. But I feel like the reverse, therefore, is the more challenging shift. Yeah. It's the harder one to actually accomplish it successfully, gracefully, I don't know, without tears.
It's definitely a much bigger shift, you know, because I remember when I remember when Caitlin was a baby, obviously, you know, and all of the different phases of life that she's gone through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's only known me as a grown up.
Right.
You know, and now I'm a grown up with a few more gray hairs and a few more wrinkles, you know, but essentially the same person.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although your life isn't changing as much as mine.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship is changing more on your end, but just as far as how much life is changing,
that's true.
Changing more for me.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The changes are different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But depending upon the person.
But it sort of balances out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with grandma, I think some of the stress for you is not just living with your mom. Mm-hmm. It was having to be both the daughter and the mom at the same time, because it's always hard when you don't have like a defined role in your own house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
you were a mom to some of us and then a daughter to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also that wife thing too. So
yeah.
That sort of goes hand in hand with being a mom.
Right. Right.
When you're a child, an adult child,
there's something about that grates against being a parent, because as a parent you are responsible, but as a child there's someone else who wants to be responsible for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I miss that,
but I don't have kids, so I think I don't feel that as much. I can just be a person.
Yeah.
Who happens to be your child, and it doesn't, yeah, I don't feel that tension so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is every generation deals with this, of parents that get older and kids get older, and then we all have to figure out that new relationship of like, my parents are still my parents, but I'm an adult. How do we do it?
Mm-hmm. But am I an adult, really?
But am I an adult? This is actually the question.
I call it the generational ka-chunk. You're just going along, and then all of a sudden you realize, ka-chunk. Uh-huh. I'm in a different spot in this generation. I'm sure for both of you, there was a bit of a ka-chunk when that sweet little grandbaby / nephew was born.
Yeah.
That there's this realization of, oh, I'm in a different place in the world than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
And that happens to all of us, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing is, what really helps me feel like a real adult, because I'm like, I'm a real adult. I have a baby nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm gonna hold him and babysit him and do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we have been going at this for a fairly long time, though it does not feel like it, as usual.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this flew by. Uh-huh.
But I know there's one more question on my list that I'm really curious. What's next for you, Magnus Ladies? Is life just sort of cruising along for now? Or do you have plans for big, cool projects happening in the future? Presumably, you won't always be a student, Caitlin, although I know some people have made a very fulfilling life out of that.
Some people have chosen that path. But I will be graduating in the fall.
Hey! Congratulations!
Thank you.
Nice. Yes.
So yeah, if you hear of any cool library jobs, you know, just send them Caitlin's way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just going to cruise along as I'm doing, I think, for the foreseeable future. You know, I'm really enjoying being a grandma and, you know, enjoying the job that I have to do and enjoying having Caitlin around the house for a little bit longer. And she's on notice. I mean, she doesn't have, just because she gets a job.
Uh-huh.
I mean, mob schmob, you know? She doesn't have to. She could just get a job right here in St. Louis, and she can just, you know, keep on living at home as long as she wants.
Household.
So I don't know. No obvious big changes coming, but you know how life is. You know, you just never know. You're just kind of going along, and then the managing editor of Lutheran Witness says, "By the way, I'm going to move."
And then, by the way, I'm going to move again and again and again.
Yeah,
I didn't think that through. No, it's a beautiful life. But I still and always will cherish the time when I got to see your lovely face every day, Cheryl.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Aww.
Yeah.
Caitlin and Cheryl, it's been super fun having you in studio for our first inaugural episode of...
It is everything I wanted it to be.
Yes!
Mother-daughters.
Mother-daughters.
Conversations.
Yes. So thank you for spending an hour with us today. It's been fun.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
We were so honored to be invited. We had a great time.
Yay! Ladies in the lounge, we want to know about your experiences as a mom or a daughter or both. Yes, you can be both.
Yes.
Yes.
You can.
Sorry, just think about that.
Little known fact.
At the same time, even.
At the same time. Yes, we want to know about your experiences. Share your stories with us in the comments in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can also do that on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. Comment on this episode or the rest of the posts we'll make this week about being a mother and a daughter. You can do that right there at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can sign up for our e-newsletter in the show notes for this episode, or you can send us an email, lutheranladies@kfuo.org. You can find all of our podcasts at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.